Blog Talk Radio.
Could somebody just say there's none like you? Come on, just lift up that kind of a worship in here that says there's none like you. Come on, continue to fill the room with worship right there.
everybody. Thank you for joining me on tonight. My name is Prophetess Stacey, and this is Prolific Fire. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, everybody that's on the phone line via Blog Talk Radio. I appreciate it. Thank you, everybody that's on, and we'll be watching on Periscope. Thank you, everybody that's listening on iTunes or any other way. Thank God for you on tonight. Father God, in the name of Jesus, God, I do give you praise and honor for your people on tonight, Lord God. I do not take them taking the time to be in the Word with me tonight for granted, God. I thank you for them, God, and I pray that this Word will be a blessing unto them, Lord God. You set me down and you stand up mightily in me tonight, Lord God, that we may all get some clarity on tonight. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now let's jump right into the Word. The foundational text comes from Genesis 37, verses 2 through 4. Also, Genesis 37, verses 23 through 28. And I will be reading from the NIV. Joseph, a young man of 17, was tending the flocks with his brothers. Now, Israel loved Joseph more than any of his other sons, because he was born to him in his old age, and he made him an ordinate robe for him. When his brothers saw that their father loved him more than any of them, they hated him and could not speak a kind word to him. The New King James says, they couldn't speak peaceably to him. Paraphrasing, one day Israel made the mistake of sending Joseph, his son, out to find his brothers, who the Bible says was grazing his flocks. And when he found them, he came to them. And this is what happened. Continuing in the text, verse 23 through 24. So when Joseph came to his brothers, they stripped him of his robe, the ordinate robe he was wearing. And they took him and threw him into the citron. The citron was empty. There was no water in it. As they sat down to eat their meal, they looked up and saw a caravan of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead. Their camels were loaded with spices, balm, and myrrh, and they were on their way to take them down to Egypt. Judah said to his brothers, "What will we gain if we kill our brother, cover up his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Israelites, and now lay a hand on him. After all, he is our brother, our flesh and blood." His brothers agreed. So when the Midianite merchants came by, his brothers pulled Joseph up out of citron and sold him for 20 shekels of silver to the Ishmaelites, who took him to Egypt. From tonight's text, we can see that Joseph never had a close relationship with his brothers. They were too busy hating on him to know him. The Bible says they couldn't even speak a kind word to him. If they couldn't speak a kind word to him, if they couldn't sit down, talk, and hang out with him like brothers should, how then could they know him? They never really knew him, even though he was their brother. And so they sold him into what was supposed to be slavery, came back to the house, and led their father to believe that Joseph was dead. For the Bible says in Genesis 37, verses 32 and 33, they took the ordinate robe back to their father and said, "We found this. Examine it to see whether it's your son's robe." He recognized it and said, "It's my son's robe. Some furious animal has devoured him. Joseph has surely been torn to pieces." They knew. This is what gets me. They knew Joseph was not really dead, but sold. Still, they let 1 year pass. Nobody had a change of heart and looked for Joseph. Two years passed. Nobody had a change of heart and looked for Joseph. Year 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 8 years. Still no change. They were content without Joseph. Year 9 and 10, 10 years, which means it was a decade, a whole decade had passed. 10 years, a whole decade had passed since they last saw Joseph. But still, not one of the brothers had a change of heart and desired to slip away to Egypt in hopes of finding Joseph. Another 10 years, another decade would pass by. Same old routine. Not one of them seemed concerned or at least curious about Joseph and his life. The Bible lets us know in Genesis 37 that Joseph was 17 years old when he was sold into slavery. Now watch the math. He was 17 when they sold him into slavery. And in Genesis 41, verse 46, the Bible picks back up with his age, letting us know that Joseph was now 30 years old when he became prime minister in Egypt. Bible scholars also believe Joseph's brothers showed up in Egypt for the first time 9 years after he became prime minister. So that means that Joseph was now 39 years old. And that also means that it had been 22 years, a little over two decades, since Joseph had last seen his brothers. And now, after 22 years, they were about to re-enter his life. After 22 years, they were about to re-enter his life, about to come back into his life. Have you ever asked yourself, why now? Have you ever asked yourself, why now? Which is the title of tonight's message. Why has this person re-entered my life now? Why after so long a time? What is the significance of now? If they were going to come back into my life, they had every opportunity to do it 1 year ago, 3 years ago, 5 years ago. So why now? In Joseph's case, I know the Bible says Joseph's brother's reason for coming to Egypt was to buy food after famine had hit their neck of the woods. But still, they didn't know they would be coming to receive food from their brother, Joseph. But God knew. Why cause a famine now, God? Why, God? Some things happen in life, and we just have to stop and ask ourselves, why? Why now? And then take it to God and ask God, why now? Why now, God, would you push them towards Joseph after so long? Am I the only person? Am I alone tonight? Everybody on the phone, am I the only person? Everybody listening in, am I the only person who has ever asked the question, why now? This person has never really had anything to do with me. They've never really had anything to do with me. They don't even know me like that. Though they've had every opportunity, but for some reason, here they come. Now, what is the significance of now versus 5 years ago? Why now? The Bible says everything has its time. Ecclesiastes 3, New King James. But why is now the time? After 29 years of having no type of relationship with this person, why now have they re-entered my life? You see, that was my question. After 29 years, somebody has re-entered my life just recently, and I had to go to God and ask God, why now? Because, you see, originally, so I thought, this was not supposed to be a message for Prolific Fire. I was not supposed to share this with you all, so I thought, but God had other plans, of course. But originally, in my mind, this was not supposed to be a message for Prolific Fire. It was just me asking myself and seeking God about a situation that had just recently occurred in my life and turning to the Bible for answers, for fresh revelation, as I always do when something is bothering me. The first thing I do when something is bothering me, I try to find something in the Bible that's going to bring me some clarity, some peace, or something. That's just me. That's how I am when something's really bothering me. And this particular issue was really bothering me. But then I realized I needed to share with you all. Then I realized others of you might be asking the same question, why now? So I felt the need to share, and hopefully we can find some needed clarity together through what God chose to reveal using the life of Joseph. Why now? Joseph's brothers re-entered his life when they did, and not years sooner, because after being physically released from prison, Joseph still had to get free emotionally. He still had to get free mentally of some issues. Just because he was released from prison physically, that does not mean his mind was released. That does not mean his emotions was released. So he still had some releasing to do. That person has come back into your life, into my life now, because we are free. We are free now, and we can witness to them now. The Bible tells us to be a witness, to be an example of Christ to them, not just witness, say a few words here and there and think we've done our job, but be a witness. But be a witness. And when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will be able to be my witness in Jerusalem, all over Judea and Samaria, even to the ends of the world. Acts 1 and 8 from the Message Bible. There's a huge difference between being something versus saying something. There's a huge difference between being something versus just saying something. Being a witness takes up a lot more of our time and energy because it's a more genuine, a more sincere task. But in order to do so, we had to get some things free. We had to get free of some things first. And to be honest, a lot of the things we had to get free from, we couldn't do it on our own. If you're honest on tonight, just like me, you had to get free of some things and you could not do it on your own. You could not do it on your own. But the Holy Spirit came and made us able. Thank God for the Holy Spirit on tonight. For example, Joseph had to get free of his childhood anger issues, free of feeling some type of way. He had to get free from the hurt, the bitterness, the unforgiveness that came from being sold. Because they sold him, y'all. Just like he wasn't a person, they sold him. So he had to get over the bitterness, the unforgiveness that came from being sold and purchased, just like he was their merchandise. He had to get the little boy in him free. He had to get the little boy in him free, the little boy in him that deep down was waiting for his father to discover the truth and come looking for him. But nobody came. Then later on, being accused of something he didn't do, Joseph needed time to process all of that and not flip and hurt somebody because he himself was hurting. You know the old saying that says, hurt people hurt people. So Joseph needed time to process all of that and not flip and hurt somebody because he was hurting. Can you relate? I sure can. We had to grow up and learn to let some things go. We had to grow up and learn to let some things go. And that takes time and the Holy Spirit. Don't let nobody fool you. Growing up and learning to let some things go, that takes time and the Holy Spirit. It takes time and the Holy Spirit to be effectively a witness for Christ. Beloved, God can't use you when you're angry. Beloved, God cannot use you when you're angry. He cannot use you when you're bitter. He cannot use you to show his love to someone else. Not when you're angry, not when you're bitter. That's not being a witness. Just imagine if I came on Blog Talk Radio, if I came on iTunes or however you're tuning in to Prolific Fire every Monday, if I came on Prolific Fire, all up in my feeling some type of way, that would be a hot mess indeed, and God couldn't use me the way that he would want to. With that being said, you may not like that particular person being back in your life, and to be honest with you tonight, I'm not sure my feelings right now either after 29 years of this person playing the absentee role. But feelings aside, sometimes we just have to push our feelings aside, especially when we're servants of Christ. But feelings aside, if God has unlocked this door and allowed them back, then I know that you and I, we have a job to do. Our job is to be a witness. Think about it. What better witnessing tool than for those who saw us then to see us now? What better witnessing tool for those that saw you then to see you now, to see those that saw me then to see me now? Why now? Back in Genesis 37, this was that chapter in Joseph's life when he appeared to be very needy. He was constantly running to his brothers, telling them everything, as though he needed their approval. He was just that needy. But that was then. But that was then. Then, after being free from some issues, it was not the perfect time for Joseph's brothers to re-enter his life, because Joseph was sure of himself now, and he knew for a fact that God was responsible for bringing him to Egypt and giving him his new position. He could see the bigger picture. Things change when you can see the bigger picture versus what you were feeling and thinking prior. But Joseph could see the bigger picture. Things had changed for him. He could see the bigger picture. And he made it known. He made it known in Genesis 50, verse 20 from the Message Bible. Don't you see you playing evil against me? But God used those same plans for my good. And that's what makes now so significant in many of our lives as well. Like Joseph, there was a chapter in our lives where we were just that needy. But God, what a game changer time makes. That person is reentering your life now because you are no longer needy, no longer codependent. And this is your opportunity to show them you can stand on your own two feet. Somebody, this is your opportunity to show them that you can stand on your own two feet. You're no longer needy. You're no longer codependent on them. But this is your opportunity to show them that you can stand on your own two feet. And you don't need them the way they thought that you always would. Because somebody in your life really, really thought that you would always, always need them, always be dependent on them. I can speak for myself and say that I am no longer needy. Glory to God, I am no longer needy. I was, but I am no longer. I don't need anything this person that has reentered my life has to offer or to give me. I don't need anything. Not trying to be boastful or arrogant, but because God was so gracious, because he's been so gracious. 1 Corinthians 15:10, Message Bible, is because of God's grace that I am who I am right now and not some beggar on the street. I don't need the gifts. I don't need the money spent on the gifts. I don't need the love extended towards me to validate me. I don't need the love extended towards me to validate me or any attention as though I was seeking approval, because you know what? I'm really not. I am the stablest I've ever been right now in my life. How about you? I pray that many of you listening on tonight, you're stable. You don't need what that person that has re-entered your life, you don't need what they're offering you. Yes, the love and the attention is good. All the gifts, that's good. But you don't need it. You're not a needy person anymore. You're not dependent on them to validate who you are, but you know who you are in Christ. So this is the perfect moment for them to come back, because you can witness and you can really change their life through the person that you are now. And for that, you ought to give God praise. I am the stablest I ever been in my life right now. Joseph was stable. He was so secure, so stable in his new life as prime minister of Egypt, that he was even prepared to feed, house, and take care of his brothers, those who had never cared too much for him. Because Joseph knew and understood now that was a part of his assignment given to him. That person has re-entered your life, re-entered my life now, because you and I are finally comfortable in our own skin. They're coming back now to check us out because we're comfortable in our own skin. We don't shake easily no more. Comfortable in our own skin. And God has given us the wisdom, the intellect, to help them far more than they could ever be able to help us. Oh, yes, the shoe is officially on the other foot. Now they are the ones in need of something. And what's crazy is, and you want to know what's crazy, and what's crazy is, They might not even realize what they really need. Yes, Joseph's brothers needed food to survive the famine they were in. But more than that, they needed closure. In Genesis 45, the brothers found closure when Joseph revealed himself as their brother. They were fearful at first, but then they hugged. Joseph cried, and together they closed the door on the past. You see, beloved, sometimes guilt. This is what I learned from my recent situation. You see, beloved, sometimes guilt would cause people to seek us out. Sometimes guilt would cause people to seek us out and re-enter our lives. They feel guilty about the way things were left. They feel guilty about the way things were left. That's somebody's word tonight. They feel guilty. That's why they're coming back into your life. They feel guilty about the way things were left and the distance that created. And so they come to us fearful, bearing gifts, all in attempt to say, "I'm sorry. Can we close the door on the past and start over?" Sometimes it's not about reentering or reopening anything, but about making things right, about them being who they should have been in the first place. In my own situation, this person that just reentered my life, I've discovered that some people really do want to do better. I discovered that some people really do want to do better. But here's a question. But can they do better after so long? That remains to be seen. Stay tuned, beloved, because I don't know the answer yet. That remains to be seen. I hadn't seen this person in 29 years. That's almost three decades, and it's seven years longer than Joseph and his brothers. This person hadn't asked about me, checked on me, nothing. Like Joseph, I was just left behind. But if they're willing, you know what, but if they're willing to try, then so am I. And though the Bible says God has not given us a spirit of fear, somebody had given me something, because I'm going to be honest with y'all tonight. I was afraid. I couldn't remember what this person looked like other than height and complexion. I couldn't even begin to imagine why now. And I'm still a bit apprehensive, to be honest. I'm still a bit apprehensive about the whole situation. I told you I'm being honest tonight. I'm still a little bit apprehensive about it. But God, I was full of questions and downright suspicious of this person's motives after so long. And you better believe I asked every question of this person I could think of when I got the chance. But God, I thank God that I'm not the 15-year-old girl this person remembers, because I was 15 the last time I saw this person. That was a long, long time ago. But I thank God I'm not that 15-year-old girl no more that this person remembers. And I thank God you're not the same person they remember, the same person that you used to be. Why now? Now is significant, because now is the best time for them to meet a better me, for them to meet a better you. Otherwise, I just don't know what would have happened if they had rolled up on the old me, if they had rolled up on the old you 10 years ago, 15 years ago, etc. God wouldn't be pleased, that's for sure. Just being honest, just keeping it real with you tonight. Thank you for tuning in. In closing, here's the answer to why now. Number one, now. Because we are free from some of our own past issues and can effectively be a witness for Jesus Christ. That person can literally get saved through us. Be a witness. Number two, now, because you and I are no longer needy, dependent on them or anybody else. We don't need what they have to offer. We can stand on our own two feet, unassisted. We hold the power. We hold the power. Number three, because we are now stable and secure, we're finally comfortable in our own skin, which gives us, you and I, the upper hand. We can help them now. We can offer them wisdom and intellect. Number four, because we can offer them closure, love, and forgiveness. Because we can offer them closure, love, and forgiveness the Christian way. We can introduce them to the Christian lifestyle. Because more than likely, that person that has re-entered your life is not saved. I know that person that has re-entered my life is not saved, which means I got a job to do, and I'm going to do my job. We can introduce them to the Christian way. Number five, now, because we can help erase their guilty conscience and provide peace and give them a chance to be who they should have been in our lives the first time, who they should have been all along. This is their door, their opportunity. Take it before it closes shut. Number six, now because we're open to trying again. Now because we're open to trying again, we've grown, we've gotten older, we've let some things go. Now we feel like we can try again. Number seven, because you and I are better now. You are better, you, I'm a better me. We're older and wiser. I'm an older me, a better me. And we're not likely to catch a case, a jail sentence being associated with them now, not even a bad attitude. It don't faze me at all. God, let the person come back. God, let him come back for a reason. Therefore, I know what I need to do. And I hope you know what you need to do concerning that person that has come back into your life. It is what it is. Father God, let whatever is done in the dark, let it be exposed in the light. Help us to not be so apprehensive. Rid us of the spirit of fear and help us to see you in the midst of it all. Help us to stay focused and to be a witness and let our words become our actions, that you may be glorified through us. We plead the blood of Jesus over our minds. Let us take this situation right and not think wrong, but be fair. Grant us the grace for a second chance and the patience needed with everything else that comes. Thank you for providing, Father, as we try to do the same for others. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, forgive those who are unsaved. Teach them to live a better way. If they're tuning in live or on the replay, it's obvious that they're seeking. Be not far. Father, console them, hold us to, and empower them to receive salvation. Jesus, deliver. Now, beloved, in compliance with Romans 10 and 9 through 10, if you want to be saved, somebody on the sound of my voice, whether you're listening live or to the replay later on, thank God for you. And if you want to be saved, then that simply means that right standing with God, repeat after me. Father God, I confess with my mouth and I believe in my heart that Jesus is Lord, and that if I ask you to save me, you will. So I'm asking, Father, save me. I want to be right with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Visit prolificfireministry.com to learn more about salvation. Also, right now, I'm going to open the phone lines. If there's anybody on the phone line via Blog Talk Radio and use our prayer tonight, just press 1 on your phone, and I will be glad to pray with you. Press 1 if you desire prayer. Okay, I see there are no prayer requests on tonight, but thank God for everybody tuning in. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. This coming up Friday, I have the privilege of being on Faith on the Line. Faith on the Line. I will be on the prayer line on Faith on the Line this Friday night as I fill in for my sister in ministry, Prophet's Pay. God wants me to pray for those of you struggling to accept your calling. That's the prayer focus. Struggling to accept your calling. If you're somebody, you're struggling to accept the calling that God has put on your life, you need to tune in to Faith on the Line. Friday night, 7 Eastern, 6 Central, 4 Pacific. There's 7 Eastern, 6 Central, 4 Pacific. Faith on the Line. You can join by calling 712-451-0011. 712-451-0011. Access code 474723. Or you can periscope in at Prolific Fire. Be sure to tune in. If you're following me on any of my social media, you will see a flyer concerning that. Then join me back here on Prolific Fire next Monday, same place, same time. The message will be the heart test. The message will be the heart test. Check your heart, because what's in your heart could cost you your promotion. I see there are no prayer requests live on tonight, but if you have a prayer request or you need private Bible-based consultation, it's free. You can call or text me anytime at 865-408-8690. That's 865-408-8690. Or you can email prolificfire@gmail.com, prolificfire@gmail.com. And I mentioned my social media. And it is as following. You can find me on Twitter at Prolific Fire, on Periscope at Prolific Fire, on Instagram at Prophetess Stacy, and like the Prolific Fire Ministry Facebook page. And I don't think in the beginning of the show I told you who the music was by. I think I just got excited and jumped right into prayer and into the word. So in the beginning of the show, I played Know God Like Our God by Bashir Hilliard. And I also played Amazed by Desperation Band. With that being said, you all, this is the end of the show for tonight. God bless you all. Hope to see you next Monday. Oh, yeah, and I hope to see you Friday first and then Monday. It's going to be a dual weekend. It's going to be a powerful weekend. Tune in. God bless you all. Good night.